हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परम उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि संतो ते मयि संतो ओम शांति 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 ही। सो वी सॉ द होल स्टोरी इन द भाष्यम आल्सो। अग्नि ही वायु इंद्र दीज थ्री देवतास वन बाय वन वेंट नियर यक्ष in the Agni and Vayuhu at least could see and talk to Yaksham, but Indraha could not even have a word with him, Yaksham. But one good thing on the part of Indra was Indra continued to stay in the place where he was, and because of perseverance and he was meditating on that yaksha, what that yaksha would have been, who the yaksha would have been without him moving from that place. And his perseverance and his love for wanting to know who that yaksha was helped him have the grace of Saraswati. So here we saw the last part of the Bhashyam. Yakshe Bhaktim Budhva. Now, Indrasya Yakshe Bhaktim Budhva. Knowing the devotion to Yaksha on the part of Indra. Uma Rupini Vidya Pradurabhut. So, Uma appeared there. Now, who is Uma? Is manifestation of knowledge. So, it's a manifestation of knowledge. You have the power of the manifestation of knowledge means there Saraswati Devi herself, the goddess of learning, we can say, appeared. And here bhakti also, the desire for knowledge of the truth is the real devotion. Desire for knowledge of Bhagavan is the real devotion. That's also exactly this word, Shankara's Bhashyam here, is supportive of that Jignyasu Bhakti in Bhagavad Gita. I'm just repeating what I said last class. And here, this Uma here, the Haimavati, she's Shobhamana means, you know, the one who is shining. The shining here stands for, we can say, because when the knowledge always stands for brilliance and light, therefore she was shining because she is a personification, embodiment of knowledge, and she appeared. Therefore he used the word shining. Knowledge always shines. Second thing, she also, Haimavati, the daughter of Himavan, you can say, son of the Parvati. So he can be seen as the Saraswati, as the knowledge, goddess of learning, or she can be seen as Parvati, also here, but one who is decked with all, you know, glittering golden ornaments. Anyway, whatever it is, she appeared as she came there as a teacher. That is what is important here. Therefore, and seeing Uma appearing in the same place, Indra asked her whether she knew what that yaksha was. So he asked what that yaksha was. So with that, the third chapter ends. Now we had entered the fourth chapter. Indraha tam ha umam kila uvacha papracha bruhi kim etad darshayitva tirobotam yaksham. Darshayitva, showing its presence. Now, just appearing, showing its presence, that yaksha, you know, appeared, disappeared. What is that? Tirobhuta means they disappeared, absconded. what is the yaksham which has absconded, which has disappeared, is showing its presence. That's the question from the Indra to Uma Devi. Now you go to the first mantra of the fourth chapter. We saw that last class, we finished it, no Randiji? We finished last class. Okay. Sa Brahma Itiha Uvacha. Sa Brahmeti Hovacha. Brahmanova Yetad Vijaye Mahiyadvam Iti Tatohavai Vidanchakara Brahmeti. Kim yetad yaksham iti haimavatim, tam haimavatim indraha uvacha. This answer for this, for that. Bahushobhamana uma haimavati ajagama. The shining, the glittering representation, manifestation of a knowledge, embodiment of knowledge, Uma Devi appeared and Indraha asked her, Kim yetad yakshamiti, what that yaksha was. Now she replies. The reply to the previous last, the question in the last mantra of the third chapter is given in the first mantra of the fourth chapter. Sa is a pronoun and is pronoun is a female gender word. And you all can make out, because a continuation of the conversation between, dialogue between Uma and Indra, you have to take this Sa, he stands for Uma. Sa Uma Haimavati, you can say Sa Shubhamana Haimavati Uma. Uma Uvacha. She replied. Uvacha is a past perfect tense of no, vadati, but says, no, speaks, had said, that's the little meaning, the lit. But you can say, Uma replied. Uma replied what? Her. Her always is for killer. Uma, indeed, Uma replied, how to say. Brahma iti. Sa uvacha. Brahma iti. So what you had supply here? She replied that Yaksham was another than Brahma. Yaksham who appeared and absconded. Yad Yaksham darshayitva tirobhutam tad ayaksham brahmaiva. That Yaksham which appeared showing its presence, which disappeared and absconded, that Yaksham is another than Sakshat Param Brahma, absolute reality. See, Yaksham is Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara. Now we say this is Param Brahma. This Yaksham is Param Brahma. When you say Ishvara is Brahma, this is the answer. Look at this. Ishvara is Brahma. When you say Ishvara is Brahma, what does it mean? The whole manifest universe is Para Brahma. It's like saying ocean is water. Yaksham is equal to Ishwaraha, Sagunam Brahma. The Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha is Param Brahma. You have to say Param Brahma is not Yaksham, but Yaksham is Param Brahma. Param Brahma is Nirgunam Brahma, is not Sagunam Brahma. But Sagunam Brahma is Irgunam Brahma. Therefore, that's what is here. Sa Uvacha Tad Yaksham Darshayitva Yad Yaksham Darshayitva Tirobhutam Tad Yaksham Brahmaiva Iti Sa Uvacha. Is it clear? So that equation you have to remember. That Yaksham which had appeared and disappeared, he was none other than Parambrahma, Nirgunam Brahma. Therefore, in this first, the Brahma, in the first sentence, Sa Brahma Iti, that Brahman stands for Nirgunam Brahma. Which Nirgunam Brahma means what now? Absolute reality. You can say consciousness. Which means, this sentence implies what? Because of the effort on the part of Indra, because of Indra's perseverance, and because of Indra's mumukshutvam, the jignasutvam, the tivra icha for knowledge, and he could, you know, stumble upon the teacher, and the teacher he got, and the teacher also revealed him the truth through the teaching. That's very important. So, only one sentence is given here. This one sentence implies that Uma Devi taught him, gave him Brahma Vidya systematically. She did not say just Brahman. This one sentence stands for, what does it imply here? Uma Devi taught him Brahma Vidya systematically. That's what is implied here. We'll go to see in the Bhashyam. Then Brahmanaha va yetad vijaye mahiyadvam iti. Not only did she say the yaksham which had appeared and disappeared was Parambrahma, she also said yetad vijaye, you know, va here is vai. Va should be taken as why. The why means indeed. Yetad vijaye. Yetad means evam. Evam means in this manner. Vijaye brahmanaha vijaye. The next brahmanaha, brahmano vijaye. That brahmanaha means Ishwaras. We are going to see in the Bhashyam anyway. Saguna Brahma. Second Brahman, the Brahmanaha is equal to Sagunam Brahma. First Brahma stands for Nirgunam Brahma. So Brahmanaha Vijaye, when she says, the victory belongs to Brahman. Brahmanaha Vijayaha, you can say. Brahmanaha Vijayaha, the victory now you are enjoying. And because of the victory, that the glory you are enjoying actually belongs to Brahman. This is what the meaning.
So, Shashti.
Yeah. You have to remember, Brahmanaha is the second Brahmanaha is Ishwarasya. Okay, we are going to see in the Bhashyam anyway. Mahiyadvam. Mahiyadvam means you enjoy the glory. You enjoy the glory of the victory of the Lord. This is one. Will you see the meaning anyway? The Bhashyam. Tataha. Tato means tataha. Ha. Eva. Vidanchakara. Brahmeti. Tataha means from that. From her. Tataha. From the teaching of Saraswati, from the teaching of Uma Devi. Tataha means from there. From there means what? From the teaching of Uma Devi. Ha, definitely indeed. Eva, is emphasizing, emphatic expression there. Tataha, Eva, only from the teaching of Uma Devi, Brahma iti vidanchakara, the yaksham which had appeared and disappeared was none other than Brahma iti, thus vidanchakara had known. Who knew this? Vidanchakara literally means had known. But now we can say knew. Indra came to know, Indra knew that Yaksham, which has appeared and disappeared, was none other than Parambrahma. Then what is that, what, or another subtle lesson is implied here. Parambrahma does not appear and disappear. Whereas Yaksham, okay, Nirgunam Brahma does not appear and disappear. So Sagunam Brahma also does not appear and disappear. But what appears and disappears is the status, the guna, Saguna status attributed to Brahman, or Ishvara status attributed to Brahman, appears and disappears. Therefore, Vidanchakara, who Indraha had supplied there, Indraha Brahma iti Vidanchakara, Brindraha Brahma Vidanchakara. Okay, Indra came to know Brahman from that teaching only, which means Brahma Vid. This is the literal translation. So he asked the Umadevi what the Yaksha was. Umadevi said that Yaksham was Brahman. And then not only she said that, she continued, you enjoy the glory, you know, glory, because the victory belonging to Ishvara. And therefore, from that teaching, this Indraha came to know the Yaksham was Brahma. This much alone is the mantra's meaning. You have to understand so much from the Bhashyam only. We'll go to the Bhashyam now. So the Tali has things to say. If you tell everything here, then what can I tell when I do the Bhashyam? Sa Brahmeti ho vacha.
Sa Brahmeti ho vacha.
Ha kila. Okay. So sa Brahma iti ho vacha. That is in the Moolam. The text, isn't it? Now what does it mean? Sa uvacha, that Umadevi said, the Yaksham which had appeared was none other than Brahma. That he said. Which means, here one has to stop here and understand, the Umadevi did not, Umadevi revealed that Yaksham was Brahman to Indra. Which means, Umadevi systematically taught Indra through her teaching, and she gave her the vision of that the truth of the Yaksham being Brahman. This much you have to understand. It's not simply she said, oh Brahma, who came? How did he came? You had to like that. You understand? You had one binary answer. Systematically, he showed, she revealed the vision, she gave him the vision of Brahman. The truth of Yaksham being Brahma. And how did she teach him systematically? The question, if you have, how it was taught in the first two chapters of the Kena Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshaha Chakshuhu, you know, Viditata Viditata Adi, etc. All those, no? How it was unfolded in the first two chapters, like that. Like that means what? Brahma Vidya can never be got instantaneously. Brahma Vidya has to be accomplished only through systematic study. That is also implied here. Therefore, Sa Brahma Iti Ha Uvacha. This is the meaning of that first sentence. So, then the sound letter comes, ha. Ha actually has no meaning, but here you have kila. Kila means indeed, of course. The tag. You can use kila for making tags also in the questions. The next, Brahmanaha va is the next word from the text. He takes taking from commentary, Shankara takes. Brahmano va is equal to Brahmanao vai, Brahmanaha vai. So, as I already told you, vai means indeed. Therefore, the Brahma mentioned in the first mentioned in the sentence. First, that Brahman is Nirgunam Brahma. Now, as I said, the second Brahmanaha is what? Sagunam Brahma. How do we know? Sishankara mentions here, Ishwarasya Eva Vijaye. Brahmanaha Vijaye means what now? Ishwarasya Vijaye. The Vijayaha, the victory, is of the Lord, not of you. Even though you claim the victory as yours, the victory is of the Lord, not of you. Therefore, the glory is also what now? The glory of the victory also is Ishwara's only. Therefore, Ishwarasya Eva Vijaye. He further explains, Ishwarena Eva Jitaha Asuraha. Okay, all these demons were in fact won over by the Ishwara only. Ishwara only became victorious over the Asuras, not you. So you were only instrumental in the hands of Ishwara. You have to remember the same teaching in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, all these people, Arjuna was hesitating. Krishna said, all of them have already been killed by me. You just nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. No? You just be there as an instrument, Arjuna. They've been already killed by me. Which means the order, works everything in a way. So he says, Ishwarena eva jitaha asuraha. Yuyam tatra nimitta matram. You are only there, you are instrumental. Devas were only instrumental in destruction of the Asuras. Actually, Bhagavan has already killed them. Ishwara has already killed those Devas, killed those Asuras. But therefore, if this fact is understood by Devas, then they will not be, they will not boast. They will not be arrogant. They will not claim that victory as their own. They will be grateful to Bhagavan for that. So here therefore, Ishwarena eva jitaha asuraha. You want to read after me? It will be good actually. So Brahmano vai, for that, Ishwarasya eva vijaye. Ishwarena eva jitaha asuraha. Ishwarena eva jitaha asuraha. Yuyam tatra nimitta matram. Therefore, you are only instrumental in killing those asuras. Really speaking, Ishwara only all killed them. Tasya eva vijaye. Tasya Ishwarasya eva vijaye. Yuyam mahiyadvam. Say now, yuyam mahiyadvam. Yuyam mahiyadvam means what? Mahimanam prapnutha. So, yuyam prapnutha. You prapnutha means you gain glory. You have attained glory. You are enjoying the glory. What now? Because of the Ishwara's victory.
Yuyam, sorry. Yuyam.
Don't know yuyam. Dakarantaha. Trishu lingeshu samanaha yushmad shabdaha tasya pratama vibhaktau bahuvachane yuyam iti rupam tvam yuvam yuyam. Yuyam tvam rajniji yuvam tvam purushaha yuvam purushau yuyam purushaha yuyam vayam vayam yuyam. So, yuyam mahiyadvam, mahimanam prapnuta. Okay, mahiyadvam, why? Because mahiyate. Mahiyate is the present tense verb. No? See, mahiyate means enjoying the glory. One word that is mahiyate. So, in second person plural, how it is mahiyadvam? You enjoy the glory, isn't it? So, mahimanam prapnutha. You have the glory. You have the glory. What now? Because of the victory of Bhagavan. ஏதத், தட்ஸ் அனதர் வேர்ட் ஏதத், அண்ட் சங்கர சேஸ் ஏதத் இதி. ஏதத் மீன் லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் வாட் திஸ், பட் ஷுட் டேக்கன் ஆஸ் ஏவம். ஏதத் ஷுட் பி டேக்கன் ஆஸ் ஏவம். வை? பிகாஸ் தேர் த வேர்ட் ஏதத் இஸ் அ கிரியா விசேஷனார்த்தம். கிரியா விசேஷனம் மீன்ஸ் அட்வர்ப், விசேஷ விசேஷனம் மீன்ஸ் அப்ஜெக்டிவ், கிரியா விசேஷனம் மீன்ஸ் அட்வர்ப். ஏதது மித்யா அபிமானஸ்து யுஷ்மாகம். சோ ஹி ஹட் தி ப்ரைட் ஆஃப் பீயிங் விக்டோரியஸ் அண்ட் ப்ரைட் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் ப்ரைட் ஆஃப் பீயிங் க்ளோரியஸ். இதோட மித்யா அபிமானம் மீன்ஸ் இட்ஸ் அ ஃபால்ஸ் ப்ரைட். மித்யா அபிமானஸ்து யுஷ்மாகம். சோ the pride, your pride of being victorious and glorious is in fact is false, isn't it? Because it is, the victory doesn't belong to you, the glory of being victorious doesn't belong to you, because it's Bhagavan's glory. You're only instrumental. Asmakam eva ayam vijayaha, asmakam eva ayam mahima iti. This pride of now claiming this is our victory and it's our glory, this is your false pride.
So is it mithya, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, just very bad.
The word mithya means here false. I'll do this, then I'll start take the two things. Nirgunam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma, I'll take it for discussion today. Tataha.
Tataha.
Now, Shankara used for the meaning of the word tataha. We have the word tataha in the mantra. What's the meaning given by Shankaracharya? Tasmat. Tataha means from there. From there means what? Tasmat. Tasmat means what now? From that. No? Tasmat. Tasmat means what? Uma vakyat. Look at this. Is it clear now? Uma vakyat. Vakyam stands for teaching. Uma vakyat means from the teaching Indra heard. Indra had from Uma Devi. Vidanchakara Brahma iti Indraha. So Indra came to know Brahman, the absolute reality, which means Indra was ignorant of the absolute reality Brahman. He could not see Brahman, absolute reality being the truth, Nirgunam Brahma being the truth of Sagunam Brahma, the Ishvara. He could not see, he could not even see the Ishvara, he could not see the truth of the Yaksham, understand Yaksha, he could not understand Ishvara. And he, but later on, he had the vision of Brahman from the teaching of Uma Devi. Uma Vakyad, Umayaha Vakyad means Umayaha Patanat. Vakyad means Umayaha Patanat. From the teaching of Uma Devi alone, Brahma Vidanchakara Indraha. Brahma iti Indraha. So Vidanchakara. So Indra came to know Brahman. Indra understood Brahman. So which means, what is, without the teaching, you can never arrive at the truth. One thing. So Uma represents Shastram and the Guru. The Guru teaches means, Guru cannot simply blabber. Whatever the Guru teaches must be the scripture only. Because the scripture is the means of knowledge, and that scripture has to be taught by the teacher systematically. So the exposure to this systematic teaching from the teacher alone is appropriate, and that alone will help a person to arrive at the truth. Okay, now we are going to see, the Shankaracharya is going to say later on, Avadharanath, tataha iti avadharanatmi, but now such assertive there, but tataha ha eva iti, of course it is because of the teaching of Umadevi alone. From the because of the teaching of Umadevi alone, it is because of the systematic teaching from the Umadevi, this Indra, the Indra arrived at Brahman, understood Brahman. Na swatantriyena. Look at this. Na swatantna. Swatantriyena. Not by oneself. Not independently. Swatantriyena means independently. Na swatantriyena, independently. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam should never be sought independently without the help of the teacher and the Shastram. So, the teacher can be, the Brahma Vidya, the spiritual teacher can be known as a teacher only if the teacher uses the Shastram as the Pramana. Suppose whoever comes and claims that I am a teacher, I can give you Brahma Vidya, I am a guru, if the person says. I can give Brahma Vidya, so I am your guru, the person says. Without teaching the Shastram, then that person really is not minus teach, a human being minus Shastram is equal to what? Not the guru. Human being with the Shastram alone can be the teacher. Is the teacher status, what gives a person a teacher status is the Shastram. So not simply he cannot talk something from his own understanding. It must be from the Shastra. Isn't it? Therefore, whatever he talks must be in conformity with the Shastra. Maybe Vishnathi Shastra. That is what is important. Therefore, na swatantriyena, therefore Shankaracharya emphasizes that tataha ha eva, that eva shabdaha emphasizes the importance of studying the, pursuing Mavidya with the help of the teacher. Okay, Uma Vakyat. Understood? Tataha means Uma Vakyat. Next, I want to say Vidhan Chakara. Vidhan Chakara means it's one such of a type of past perfect tense. We have two types of past perfect tense in Sanskrit. The perfect tense we have lit, it's called a lit. Lat, lang, ling, lung, we have, no? The lit is a past perfect tense. And then we have two types. One is anuprayogalit. It's called periphrastic lit. Periphrastic means, the another is dvitvalit. Suppose, ajagama. Now suppose, viduhu. Simple past tense. Now viduhu. Simple past perfect tense, you can say. Now, vidanchakara. Chakara, they can always add.
Means exactly the same thing.
Huh? Chakara will be added to the roots. Then it will be Vidhan Chakara. Different roots. I don't get it exactly now. With two types of past perfect tense. Anyway, it means had known. Literally, Vidhan Chakara means had known.
And simple will be new.
Suppose, no, suppose gachati, no, gachati jagama,
agachat, what is agachat?
And agachat is lung, that is simple past tense.
Okay.
Vidhan chakara, Brahma. Anyway, what I want to say here, so Indra understood Brahman, or everything is here, mostly in the Upanishads, they use only past perfect tense, isn't it? But we have to take it as simple past tense. Na swatantriyena. Got it? So here, what we have to take mainly understand here is. So Param Brahma, the Nirgunam Brahma and Sagunam Brahma. These two we have to take. Always the confusion comes. What is Nirgunam Brahma? What is Sagunam Brahma? Nirgunam Brahma alone is ultimately to be understood. In fact, we don't even need to say Nirgunam or Sagunam. Just the Brahma. What is to be understood ultimately is Brahma. the reality of the whole. The reality of the whole means what? Truth of the knower and the known. Truth of the knower and the known. In between, you can add one more thing, the knowledge also. The truth of the knower, the knowledge and the known being one and the same. Isn't it? Is what now, if you understand, is only one truth, which is limitless reality, and with that incomparable reality, because it is one and non-dual, secondless. And that Brahman, which is the truth of the known as well as the knower. There can't be knower without Brahman, there can't be knowledge without Brahman, there cannot be known without Brahman. That is, the truth of the knower, knowledge and the known is one and the same. Jnatuhu swarupam, jnanasya swarupam, jnaya swarupam. Swarupam means you can say truth, the reality. Isn't it? Jnatuhu jnana jnayanam. Jnatru jnana jnayanam swarupam brahma. The truth of the knower, knowledge and the known. That Brahman has to be known means that Brahman, therefore, the truth of the known can be understood, is understood as it were, if the truth of the knowledge is understood. The truth of the knowledge is understood as it were, if the truth of the knower is understood. Therefore, always the truth of the all the three being one and the same becomes understood only when the truth is understood as the truth of the knower. Isn't it? See, with reference to known itself, we say what? The known is ever the known. Known never becomes the knower. Isn't it? Known never becomes the subject of knowledge. The knower never becomes the object of knowledge. Ever. Knower is ever the subject of knowledge. The known is ever the object of knowledge. And when you want to know the truth of all the three, who should try to know?
No.
Isn't it? Knower. Therefore, the knower tries to know the truth. Then that's why the truth is available for recognition only as the truth of the knower. Not as the truth of the known, isn't it? Therefore, the knower, the swarupam. When the knower swarupam, to arrive at the knower's swarupam, knower needs an external pramanam. Isn't it? External pramanam. Which is the shastra. So, shastra's words help this individual, to arrive at the truth of the knower. Thereby, the truth of the knowledge and the known being one and the same becomes arrived at later on. Is it clear what I'm saying? Therefore, we say, that truth is what? Brahma Chaitanyam. When do we add these adjectives, nir and saguna adjectives to Brahma? We need not talk about nirguna, nir also. We need not even say sa, saguna also. But to differentiate the Brahma, differentiate Brahma from the saguna, you add the adjective nir, nirguna to Brahman. Therefore, this Brahman is the truth. When here we say, so he, Indraha, understood, that Umadevi revealed Brahman, gave him the knowledge of Brahman through her teaching means, and that Brahman, Indra understood which Brahma? Indra understood the Nirgunam Brahma. What is understand Nirgunam Brahma? Sagunam sees the Sagunam Brahma, but he doesn't understand what this Sagunam Brahman is, what this Ishvara is. Ishvara asti, Bhagavan asti, Jnanam is there. But who this Bhagavan is, who this Ishvara is, who this Lord is, how this Lord is not known. Therefore, the Yaksham appeared. He is all the Yaksham, isn't it? But he couldn't make out what it was. Therefore, to know arrive at that, he needed the teaching. So half knowledge is already there. It now becomes complete and full when there's the teaching is there. Without the teaching, knowledge will be only partial, half. It will now become complete. Therefore, this Ishvara, this Sagunam Brahma, this Bhagavan, is absolute reality. Param Brahma. When you say that Brahman is what? Nirgunam Brahma. Now, what is Sagunam Brahma then? Yaksham, Ishvara is Sagunam Brahma. Then the question comes. The first two chapters of the Keno Upanishad, Brahman is only unfolded as the Nirgunam Brahma. The whole two chapters, all the time the unfoldment was of the nature of Nirgunam Brahma only. Sagunam Brahma was not at all discussed. Only in the third chapter, Sagunam Brahma is introduced. Ishvara is introduced. Which means, what does it mean? When you talk about the reality, with its power, it is Sagunam Brahma. When you do not talk about the power of the reality, Nirgunam Brahma. Then the question might come, which means Brahman is always endowed with this power. So why can't we say Brahman is Sagunam Brahma always? Why should we say Brahman is Nirgunam Brahma? This is the question always comes in each of our heads. Really speaking, only from the standpoint of the transaction, the standpoint of the transactable universe, when we say Brahman is Sagunam Brahma. And the non-transactable, we know. So, Paramarthi, there are two drishti, isn't it? Paramarthika drishti, Vyavaharika drishti. The standpoint of absolute reality, Brahman is Nirgunam. The standpoint of the universe, Brahman is Sagunam. Therefore, should I say, what about this? It is, we have to intellectually, cognitively count the power. We cannot discount the power of Brahman. We can leave the power, discuss the power. Cognitively, you have to see that. Why? Because the power of Brahman is not something, a parallel reality. Brahman is ever Brahman, Nirgunam only. You can talk about Brahman. Just the Brahman. When do you call Brahman Nirgunam? When do you call Brahman Sagunam? If you count the Maya, Sagunam. If you discount the Maya, Nirgunam. Finished. And should I count or discount? Means, from two different standpoints, you have to see Maya is Maya countable or non-countable? If Maya is nothing but the very term Maya, which is used to indicate the power of Brahman, implies what? That which is not. Ya ma sa maya, that which is not really, that which is as though, is maya. Understand? Maya is mithya. Maya is mithya. That which is not by its own. What is mithya? That which is not by its own. That which does not have independent existence is mithya. So this maya is mithya. Understand? That which is not by itself. If maya is satyam, maya is a parallel reality, then it is countable. But maya is not a parallel reality. Why? Because it has no independent existence. Therefore, it is not countable as a second reality. Because it has no independent existence, it is non-countable, it is mithya. Therefore, we say Brahman is what now? Always non-count, because of its non-countability, we say it is nirguna. Brahman is nirguna. And when you count that maya, you say sagunam. When you count the namarupam ocean, then ocean. Water seeming appearance of ocean. When you resolve the namarupa ocean, it's the water. Similarly here. Is it clear what I'm saying? When do you count, when do you not discount? That is not something physical. It is purely cognitive job. And here I tell you, why do you say, what is this maya? What is this power of the reality? Shakti, Brahma Shakti, otherwise called maya, which gives this power status, Ishvara status. Isn't it? Ishvara status, a sagunam status, is attributed to Brahman only because of this power. What is the power of the reality? The power of the reality is power of knowing. What is maya, if you say, the power of knowing? Absolute power of knowing, which alone is in the form of power of activity and the power of inertia also. Okay, all the three powers are absolutely what? One power of knowing. That's why we say maya means what now? We say three-stranded string. Therefore, the power, just one power of knowing. The power of, from the standpoint of the consciousness, the reality, the power of knowing and the reality are not separable. Can you separate them? Cannot separate them. The standpoint of the reality consciousness, the power of knowing is non-countable. So nirgunam. So paramarthika drishtya nirgunam brahma. Vyavaharika drishtya sagunam brahma. When power is as though countable, as though power is as though countable, then sagunam brahma. Isn't it? So, what is this power of knowledge here? The power of knowledge, unmanifest is maya. The power of knowledge manifest is jagat. We don't say manifest knowledge also. The manifestation of power of knowing. The manifest power of knowledge, the power of knowing is jagat. The power of knowing unmanifest is maya. Is it clear? The power is manifest Jagat. Power is unmanifest Maya. So, the power manifest or unmanifest? Now I tell you, what does Brahman do for the power to become manifest? Brahman, the Chait consciousness, is always there. Isn't it? Real does not make any effort for its power to become manifest. Is what is intrinsic. Understand? Doesn't do anything. Jagat comes, vrittis come, everything comes, then there is manifestation. When everything dissolves, the power also, nothing happens. Still power is there, isn't it? Power is not manifest. It's like saying, suppose there's light here. It's a very important lesson for you to understand. The story part we have to stop, because Bhashyam we have to stop here. There is light. There is a power of illumination, a power of illumining. Light plus power of illumining is what? Illuminator. Light minus power of illumining is light. Nirguna prakashaha, saguna prakashaha. Now tell me, is there something called saguna prakashaha? Is another called nirguna prakashaha? No, just the prakashaha. There is just the light. Light is, understand what I'm saying? Just the light. And there is no such a thing called nirgunam also. Light is just nirgunam. There is no such thing gunam. There is no attribute here. So this prakashanam, illumining, is not an attribute. Very swarupam. Isn't it? So illuminator status is attributed to the light when its power of illumination is manifest, isn't it? The illuminator status is attributed to the light when the power of illumination is manifest. When the power of illumination is not manifest, the illuminator status also goes. Similarly, the power of knowing is manifest, Ishvara's status is attributed to Brahma. When the power of knowing is not manifest, the Ishvara's status also goes. So for Brahman to have the status of being Ishvara, for his power to become manifest, Brahman is dependent on matter. That is why we say not two. We don't say one. Not two. Advaita means what? Light is here. We've been telling from day one. Light is here. Light does not create the opaque things. Light does not move. Without light, without a substance called light, the opaque objects are as good as non-existent. Will ever be non-existent. Imagine, without the light, opaque things alone are here in this world. If there is no substance at all called light, and will there be opaque objects enjoying the status of being existent? opaque things will be there, may be there, but as they will be as good as non-existent. First line, okay, think well. That is why the light example is a fantastic example. You can see, never can any opaque thing have the status of being existent if it does not shine, if it is not illumined without the presence of light. The opaque enjoys its presence, existence status only in the, because of being blessed by the presence of the light. Being in the presence of the light is the blessing, no? Is blessed by the light. So when the opaque thing is, what does the light do? Does not do anything. The opaque thing shines. The opaque thing shines, therefore it is becomes known because it is illumined, because there is illumination. Understand? And this illumining is there. That illumining is what? Because of the presence of the illuminator. And therefore illumination is seen as the manifest power of the light. Understand? Illumination. If the opaque object is not there, light alone is there. Imagine now, without the opaque world of objects, light alone is there, then light, no? The power of illumination will not be manifest. How will you know? The light has the power of illumining. How will you know that? If there is no opaque thing at all. Light is. This person comes and sits here quietly. Doesn't speak. That person has a capacity to speak. How do I know? Only the person. His action is involved, isn't it? But here light is. But this light has the power of illumining. That no, becomes known. The power of illumining being there becomes known when? Only power is manifest. For the power to become my, what must be there? Only there is opaque. Very subtle. Hope you understand it, isn't it? The power of illumining, is there something called power of illumining other than light? Power of illumining is nothing but light. That such power is, how subtle the power is. How subtle the power is, tell me. Power is as subtle as the light. You get it? Power is as subtle as the light. Power is inseparable from the light. In fact, there is no power of illumining other than the light. They are one and the same. Power of illumining is the light. But the light is not the power of illumining. Why? Because from the standpoint of the light, light is not the power of illumining. Light be the power of illumining being the light is recognizable only from the standpoint of the opaque. Only in relation with opaque. Do you see two things as light and its power? Leave the opaque now. Take light and its power. We can't say light and its power. Just the light alone is. But the power of illumining is the light. Not two different things. Light and its power are not two different things. Just the light alone is. The power of illumining being the light is recognizable only in the presence of opaque. When the opaque comes, opaque shines. Therefore, opaque thing becomes what now? Manifesting medium. What is manifesting means what? The non-recognizable power becoming recognizable is called manifestation. Non-recognizable power, or I can say non-recognizable reality becoming recognizable is what? Manifestation of the power. Manifestation. Non-recognizable reality becoming recognizable is what? Manifestation. How does the non-recognized light becomes recognized? What makes the light recognizable? Its power. Even if I say its power, it is something not different. It has that capacity, isn't it? Doesn't need to do anything, but its mere presence. Sannidhi matrena, by its mere power, presence. The power is manifest. Vastu, non-recognizable vastu, becoming recognizable, is in fact manifestation of its power. So what makes the power manifest? Isn't it? Presence of the opaque. Really speaking. But the opaque is dependent on the very power for its existence. Is it clear now? Therefore, opaque is dependent on the light for its very existence. The light is dependent on the opaque for its manifestation. If the light is not the power of illumining is not manifest at all, then the opaque will ever be non-existent. Is it clear now? So this is what we say. Do you count the power or do you discount the power? Power is countable or non-countable? Because no, you talk about the power, vyavaharika drishtya, then, isn't it? No, saguna prakashakaha. Take away the opaque, minus opaque, prakashaha, nirgunaha. With the opaque, sagunaha, prakashaha. Is it clear? Therefore, without any action, without doing anything, the entire world of opaque things comes into existence, remains and resolves, we say, in the truth of light. Similarly, the power of consciousness, or you can say the pure knowledge, take the word jnanam itself. Leave other two words, consciousness and awareness. We have synonym, another word, knowledge, isn't it? Pure knowledge. Pure knowledge and manifest knowledge. The knowledge Brahman, Brahman the knowledge, Jnanam Brahman, is ever non-recognizable. When does Brahman become recognizable? Only if it is manifest. Which means what? The power of knowledge has to manifest. The power of knowing is the power of knowledge, isn't it? Power of knowing. The knowing power becomes manifest. Only when there is manifesting medium, the vritti. If there is no vritti, the manifesting medium, the power of knowing is there or not? There. Unmanifest. In what form? Consciousness, pure knowledge. The vritti comes. The power of knowledge is manifest. Then what happens to light? Nothing. Is consciousness is in when the thoughts are absent. Consciousness is when the thoughts are present. In the presence of thoughts, consciousness, you know, when thoughts come, if the thoughts come, they will be unknown if the thoughts are, consciousness is not there. Therefore, in the presence of thoughts, the thoughts shine. That's why it's not an action. The thoughts shine. Then what is that which makes these thoughts shine? What is that without whose presence thoughts cannot shine? Because you know the nature of the thoughts already. It's like opaque, you know. Like you know the nature of the opaque. This will never shine by itself. It shines after the light. Similarly, thoughts are ever inert. That's why the very Upanishad, the first mantra begins with what? This mind is inert mind. Inert mind, insentient mind, because we have studied very well, thoroughly we know it's also elemental product. Maybe it is a sattvic amsha, a product of a sattva amsha of the elements. Not tamas amsha like the, you know, the product of tamasic aspect of element, but still it is elemental. Still it is inert. But this inert, sentient mind becomes sentient and conscious. And it shines, isn't it? It is there. The mind being there is known. Which means, what is that in whose presence the thoughts shine? Thoughts become conscious, sentient. That is consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, that power of knowing, power of illumining is manifest in the presence of thoughts. The thoughts are absent. What happens to consciousness? Nothing. What happens to the power? There is no power of knowing other than consciousness. The power of knowing is always there. The power of knowing is nothing but consciousness. But you do not call consciousness the power of knowing because it is non-recognizable. The power is non-recognizable, isn't it? When the power is not manifest, the reality is non-recognizable. So in the presence of thoughts, the power is manifest. You have to understand, they're not two different things. So the power is manifest means, so when you associate consciousness with the jagat, there is a manifest power. Then you sagunam brahma. Without jagat is what? Nirgunam brahma. From the standpoint of Brahman, it's called what now? Paramarthika drishtya nirgunam. Vyavaharika drishtya sagunam. Which means, that is where the question comes. Which means, can we say consciousness and matter are two different realities? The consciousness నువ్వు లీవ్ ది పవర్ నౌ, ఓకే, జస్ట్ ద కాన్షియస్నెస్. ద పవర్ అండ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆర్ ఇన్సెపరబుల్. సో ఓకే, నో కాన్షియస్నెస్ అండ్ మ్యాటర్, ఆర్ దే వన్? డెఫినెట్లీ నాట్. హౌ కెన్ యూ సే లైట్ అండ్ ఓపేక్ ఆర్ వన్? దే నాట్ వన్. తమో ప్రకాశవత్ విరుద్ధ ధర్మయోహో. ఐ డిడ్ దట్ గీత భాష్యం. విషయ విషయనోహో నేను వదిలేం పరిస్థితి. మెనీ ఇయర్స్ అకార్డింగ్ ఇన్ యానస్ హౌస్. దే నాట్ ట్రూ. ఇఫ్ దే ఆర్ నాట్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ టూ, దే ఆర్ నాట్ వన్, ఆర్ దే టూ? దే ఆర్ నాట్ వన్. They are not one, are they two then? No. How should you say? That is why very careful. Shastram does not say ekam, Shastram does not say dvayam, advaitam, not two. Not two means one has independent existence, satyam, the other has dependent existence, mithya. Then say mithya is as good as non-existent. Then say the entire mithya material universe is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Whole jagat is what? Manifestation of knowledge. We all want to know. Suppose, why should we not ignore consciousness? Jagat alone is independently without the consciousness. Will never there be world. Even for small, for few minutes, no? That is why Shakti illayel Shivam illay, they say that. That is why we say the moolam, moola vidya. So what is, in fact, the power of knowledge be unmanifest power of knowledge. Not unmanifest knowledge. Knowledge is never unmanifest, knowledge is never manifest. Knowledge is. The power of knowledge unmanifest is maya, avidya, ignorance. What is ignorance? The power of knowledge being unmanifest is ignorance. Ignorance is nothing but the power of knowledge being unmanifest. Not the knowledge. The power. The knowing power unmanifest is ignorance. Therefore, the question need not arise. What question? Brahman is always with the maya. Why can't we say sagunam Brahma? Not with the maya. Just Brahman is. Vyavaharika dishtya sagunam, paramarthika dishtya nirgunam. From the standpoint of Brahman, Brahman is ever nirgunam. Yes. In fact, they are not two different things. We have to understand that. The power of knowing is not something. See, manifesting, we always think something which comes out of it, isn't it? People always think this. This one plant sitting and one small shoot comes and it comes out of it. Coming out of it. Going in and coming out. There's no going and coming out. So all we have to understand that. Okay, now we can ask Radhiji.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
First, if the jagat is nothing but the power of knowledge manifest, then that must mean the jagat is ever manifest, because the power of knowledge can never not be manifest, because the power of knowledge is ever present. albeit, how can it not ever be manifest when there is nothing triggering it? There is nothing, there's no action on the part of Brahman to make that knowledge, that make that power of knowledge manifest, because it's intrinsic. Therefore, Jagat must be ever present. And yet,
Jagat is ever present already. Jagat is ever present. But Jagat is ever present. Who has to say? You must be there, no? To say Jagat is ever present. Jagat is ever present. You must be there to say that. When you are not there, where is the Jagat?
When are you not there? When are you not there? In that sense, when are you not there?
Yes, Radhaji. When are you not there?
Yeah, when are you not there?
As long as Parabdha is there, you are there. And then keeping the karma, as long as you are keeping awake, you are there. When you fall asleep, you are not there. When you wake up, you are there. The vritti comes, you are there. Vritti goes, you are not there. You come and go, you come and go. What? I is manifest knowledge, isn't it? And the I vritti comes, you are there. I vritti goes, you are not there. Avritti comes, you are there. Avritti goes. And which means, what makes this vritti come and go?
Yeah.
That is, what is the order? That order is...
knowledge.
That order is not outside of knowledge. That is why knowledge manifests order. Knowledge manifests the universe. Knowledge manifests everything. There is no order outside of knowledge. There is no... the order is what? The law of karma, which is not outside of the knowledge. That is why the manifest knowledge is Ishvara, when you say. Ishvara includes order, everything, law of karma. The laws which determine all that is happening within the material world, Radhaji, including the order, is not outside of knowledge.
And neither outside knowledge is the opaque object which...
Yeah. Which, well, light and the opaque.
Which is allowing the knowledge, the power of knowledge to be evident. Now, why is there this dualistic expression all the time? Well, I don't... you talk of the power of knowledge and knowledge itself being non-separate, and yet suddenly there is posited this opaque to give expression or to give manifestation to that power. This is where it all appears to fall down. I don't make that leap. How is it?
In fact, Anandji, you don't need to talk about this. See what happens. You can just say, instead of talking about the power of illumination,
yeah,
you can just talk about light and the opaque.
Yeah, but where's the opaque? The opaque is posited as a reflecting medium, manifesting medium.
Yeah.
Where from? How does it arrive?
It doesn't arrive and go, it's there.
Then how is it a manifestation of knowledge? Because if there is nothing but knowledge, if there is nothing but consciousness, where is there something to manifest that knowledge? There isn't. How can there be?
There's no. Finally you have to say no.
No?
Finally you have to say no.
So
it's just,
no,
yes, just the knowledge.
There is no Jagat at all.
There's no Jagat at all.
That's right.
That's what yesterday we were saying. That's what yesterday we said, Radhaji. What did he say yesterday?
Nanirodho nachotpattihi.
Nanirodho nachotpattihi. Nabaddho. Yesterday we said, read it, no? In Saturday class we said, Nanirodho nachotpattihi. He gave two examples, remember, Radhaji?
Yeah,
See, he said one thing, Maya, magic. The one is this universe, Vyagrat Prapanchaha. Now, Vedanta Vichakshane, Vichakshane, Vedanteshu Vichakshanaha, Vichakshanehi, idam drishtam. This universe is, how this universe is seen by the Vedanta Vichakshanaha. The people of vision, Vedantic vision, how do they see this universe? We saw in the class, remember? This universe is not there for them. Brahman alone is there. Where is the universe for them? How? Understand? For the waker, there is no more dream. Which means the dream universe is not real for the mithya, for the waker. For the people who are watching the magic, for the magician, isn't it? The magic is what? Not real for the real. So also, this Jagrat Prapancha has also what now? One more thing he said, Gandharva Loka. Gandharva Nagara means, the sky city. We are highly imaginable, and then we can see the groups of clouds moving. You can think this as though there's a world around, people walking and then doing things. The Gandharva Nagara. It's a cloud, isn't it? This Jagat is as real as the cloud cities seen amidst the clouds, and as real as the magic magicians show, and it's as real as the dream for the waker. For the, you may not know, it is not there. See, if we have to say mithya, you can't say astucham. It is mithya, therefore it is as good as tucham, as good as non-existent. Therefore, Brahman alone is. You have, that is why you resolve what, there is no I. First you have to say there is no I, and there is no didam. Aham appi nasti, idam appi nasti. What is only Brahma? Then when I am itself is not there, and where is the question of my being bound, being liberated? Where is need for me to get liberated? That's why that verse was beautiful verse, wasn't it, Tanya? And what finally he said, even the word Advaitam is mithya, he said. Did you see that? Last class I said that. Even the Shabda Advaitam also is partially mithya. Meaning that the term is mithya. The substance alone is satyam. The substance indicated by the substantive Advaitam alone is satyam. Even the word conscious, any word indicating, implying the reality is mithya. You arrive at what consciousness is, then even resolve the word consciousness as mithya. That alone is satya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.